We're going to learn Daf Nun Hey in Masechtas Nedarim with the Mishnah right at the beginning of the Yomid. This Mishnah, once again, is a continuation of the theme that we've been doing, which is you make a neder and you say certain words. What's included in that, in the meaning of that word, and what's not included? So, the Mishnah says, Hanoider min hadogon. Somebody makes a neder that he's going to refrain from grain. Aser bepul amitzri yavesh, dimiremer. He's going to be aser to eat even this type of bean that comes from Mitzrayim, but now that it's dried out, and the Ran explains, because that material, whatever, that food, is going to be ground down into a grain itself to be used as a, you know, as an ingredient for other food. That's what Rav Meir says. Now that, by the way, this is consistent with the Mishnah that we just saw on Daf Nun Dalet. Mishnah Nadalat also said that there's a distinction between a pulamitzri yavesh versus a pulamitzri lach. Lach would be considered a vegetable, but once it's dried, it's not considered a vegetable anymore. So, the same thing over here also, but interestingly, this is Divrei Rav Meir, this is Rav Meir Shita, that it is now considered a grain, it's part of the grain system. However, when a person says dogon, dogon is a very precise word, it has a very precise definition, and therefore it only would include the regular five grains, which is wheat, spelt, barley, rye, and what? Pumpernickel? No. Oats is the fifth one. Okay, anyway, those are the five grains that are included naturally in the word dogon. Okay, fine, so we have a machlekes, whether you can include, it seems very simple machlekes so far in the Mishnah, whether you can include other things which have the same characteristics as a grain, but it is not your classic, typical grain. You know, by the way, again, not to differentiate from this Mishnah, or not to say anything different than this Mishnah is saying, but in some countries where they don't have these grains necessarily available, they use other products to make grains. For example, rice. Well, we'll talk about rice in a moment, but we're talking about potatoes in you know, the Irish potato famine. Potatoes was everything. You have potato starch that does corn, or even bananas. Bananas are dried out, can be done into a grain and used for other things. Again, it's not our culture. You don't hear about this. But the point that Rav Meir is saying in Kiddush that it would include, and again, of course, this doesn't contradict anything that we've learned so far in the Masechta, that it goes by what people themselves make an eder. Okay, let's continue the Mishnah. Although I did see something really fascinating this week, that the Rambam says that's talking about in the times when they used to use these words. They spoke Lashon HaKodesh, and then the question was whether Dagon meant specifically this or whether it included other things as well. But nowadays that we do not speak Lashon HaKodesh, where we speak different languages, so therefore, when we say the word dogon, we mean what the Torah meant. Even though normally we go Lashon B'nai Adam, this is based on the Yerushalmi, and I guess I saw it in the Ran. Yeah, the Ran Rama Beis. It's based on the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that's all talking about where you speak Lashon HaKodesh, and then it's a question of does it mean that's what Lashon B'nai Adam means as well. But nowadays, where we don't speak Lashon HaKodesh, when we say these words, we only mean what the Torah meant, because otherwise we would say it in our own language. So if we're using those words, we mean what the Torah means. I thought that was a very interesting point. Mishnah now continues. Rav Meir Oimer, Hanoider min hatvua, which again now is a very precise word, which means the grains, also means the grain, but not necessarily in the storage way, the way dogon means, but over here it means the grains themselves. So here Rav Meir, even though before Rav Meir was the shita that says we could include other things, here Rav Meir is very clear that the word tvua only means the five grains that we listed before. So he says very clearly, but if I say the word dogon also b'chol, I mean all the things, anything that can be stored. But it doesn't mean to include the things that grow, the perasa ilon, the fruit that grow on a tree, and vegetables, because as we described before, everybody, again, in those days, were not able to store these things. So it's definitely not a grain. It was not something that you would store for a lengthy period of time. Okay? So we have two two statements from Rameh. The first one was with machlekes between the Chachamim whether the word Dagon includes more than the Chamesh Aminim or not. But then we have Tfuah, which definitely only means the Chamesh Aminim. And the last point was that, and therefore Rameh, consistent with his original Shita, was that Dagon is really much more expansive, could mean anything. That's the Mishnah. So right away the Gemara points out, Lememra to tell us the Dagon kol dimidgon mashma, that the word Dagon actually means what it sounds like. It means anything that can be piled up and therefore stored, and that's so then again it's a machlokes, do we mean to include only the natural, the basics that get stored, or do we mean anything that gets included? That's the machlokes. However, Masiv Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef asked a contradiction, he asked a stira or a question. Ukuparetz hadavar. Okay, so this is interesting. This is a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim by right. This is a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim by Chizkiah, right? That he wanted them to include more. He wanted them to give meiser on more things. And it says ukuparetz hadavar when it became spread out and accepted. Hirbu b'nei Yisrael reishes Dagon. So b'nei Yisrael started bringing the trumas and meisers from Dagon. Tirosh v'yisar, which means wine and oil. It doesn't mean the wine and oil, or actually maybe it even means the wine and the oil itself, but it usually refers to the grapes and the olives. V'chol tfuas hasod l'roiv, and also anything that grew in the field, and it was l'roiv, it was very much. Now, the Gemara asked the question straight out. V'i amres dagon kol demidgon mashma. But if you're telling me that the word dagon already includes anything that gets stored as a grain, my kaparetz hadavar hirbu. So what exactly did they add? So it's interesting. The Gemara doesn't even quote the part of the pasuk that we're asking from. The question is, we say, we list all these things, and then we list four. So what is included in the, what is included and not included? If these things if the word tfuah is very specific, it already includes all these, it includes Dagon, it should be the same thing. So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaya, la suye peris ha'ilon v'yarek, and a chanami. When we said the word kuparetz hadavar, that the reishis Dagon over there was including there the peris ha'ilon and the yarek. Meaning to say, Enachanami, when we say the word Dagon, we mean the five grains, or we mean grains specifically, however you want to, again, depending on whether you learn like Rameh or the Chachamim, but we mean grains. When the Pasuk was saying that it included more things, the Pasuk was coming to say, so what was the Pasuk coming to include on top of the Tfuas HaSodeh and on top of the Dagon? That was coming to include also the Peiros HaElon and the Yerek vegetables also. Anyway, but the point of the Gemara, besides the specific meaning of the words that is really very clear what the Gemara is trying to say, but also what it teaches us was that Chizkiah, just again historically what was going on over there at the time of the Navi, was that he wanted to be mechazek the inyan of giving trumas and meisers, that people should get used to giving the kayanim the matanos, and people should get used to giving trumas and meisers. So what he did was he decreed that it should include all these different types of foods so that people got used to giving truma. The idea was, in your mind, you have food, you take trumas and meisers. That was the idea. So it included even those things that midaraisa are definitely not chayiv in trumas and meisers. Okay, but again, the point of the Gemara is that when the pasuk says it, the pasuk means to expand beyond what it would naturally mean. It definitely doesn't over there. It says v'chol tfuas hasod, it means all the different things, not just the grains. Okay, then now we're going to get into what's included, what's not. Rameir Oimer Hanoidim and Atfua. So Rameir then goes back and repeats and says in our mission, and he says, when you say Tfua there, that's when you mean only the five grains, and you do not mean to include anything else. Meaning, just as again a reminder, when you make an Eder, you can mean whatever you want. But when you pick a word, when you could say it in five different ways, you can make the point that you're trying to make using various, many different ways to say and various words to say it, and you specifically pick a word that has a very clear definition, then you mean exactly what you're saying. Okay? That's the perspective that you have to understand. Why are you saying the word tavuah? Tavuah is not, so to speak, your natural thing when you wanted to talk about food generally. So that's why Rameh is able to say the word tavuah definitely only means the grains. Otherwise, you wouldn't have used that word. So on that note, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol Moedim. So that's why everybody agrees. Benoidim menatvua she'ena osur elam echmeishas aminim. That if you said the word tvua, that you definitely only meant the five grains. As opposed to, by the way, in our Mishnah, where we say the word dagon, which just means storage and piled up, there, and Hanami, Reb Meir says, it could mean extra things. But using the word tvua, there's a reason why you chose to use the word tvua to make your point. And therefore, everybody agrees it only means the chamesha sminim. Tanya Amihochi, we have a brisa also that teaches us this, that says, Shovin, Benoidim and Atvua, everybody agrees, meaning Rameir and the Chacham, they all agree, Benoidim and Atvua, Sheina, Osir, Elam, Mehei, Ha, Minim. That you only mean to Asir those five grains and nothing more. Pshita. So of course, that's the point. When you said Tvua, what else could it mean? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what else. Ma'od Teima, Tvua, Kol, Mili, Mashma. I would think that the word tvua could mean any real food. The point of saying the word tvua is a grain because it's a basic food, it's a basic need. So maybe when I say the word tvua, I really do mean other foods because I'm just trying to use it as an example of something that could mean other foods. Kamash malon, deloy mashma kol mili. That it doesn't mean anything, no. Again, I'm using a word that has a very clear and specific definition, and why am I choosing that word? Because I mean exactly and precisely what it represents, which is the five minim. Okay, but if that's true, so then Masiv Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef says, I have a question. The pasuk, remember, that we started off with in the beginning of the Gemara, Kaparat Sadava, here B'nai Yisrael, and over there it says, V'chol Tvua Sasodeh, and it includes, and the Gemara is saying, what was it including? What is all these things that it's including? It means to include even vegetables and fruits. So we see that the word, and there it says Tvua Sasodeh, it says the word Tvua. So we see that it does, that the word Tvua does, could mean other things. What are you telling me that it's clear that the word Tvua only means the grains, and here we see in the pasuk that the word Tvua itself means other things. So Amarabas, Rabbah gives a very simple teretz. Tvua l'chud, the word Tvua, when I just say the word Tvua, that means grains, as we described. Tvua sada l'chud, but the word Tvua sada can mean something else. So why would you call Tvua sada? The word Tvua sada does mean the random things that grow in the field outside. It doesn't mean the things that you necessarily planted. So that's why Tvua sada could mean much more comprehensive, much more inclusive, to include the other peiros as well. But Enchanami, we're still sticking with the idea that the word Tvua only means the five minim. So based on that, the Gemara says, well, very interesting. Story goes as follows. Bar Mar Shmuel, the son of Shmuel, Pukid, he instructed, and this is talking about, by the way, the Mepharshim say that he was in his will. He instructed the Litnoin Tleser Alpi Zuze Lerova Min Alolosa de Naharpanya. That he said that the Litnoin means that he should give 13,000 gold coins worth, obviously not the gold coins themselves, from the Alolosa. Alolosa happens to be the word, the Targum, the translation in Targum of the word Tvua. From the Harpanya is from an area over there. Okay, in other words, he wanted, either he owed him the money or he did, or he wanted to give him the money for whatever reason. He wanted Rava to receive $13,000 worth of alalosa. So, and the word alalosa, as we already established, is a translation of the word tvua. However, it is more inclusive. So therefore, Sholcho Rava lekameda Rabbi Yosef. So Rava asked Rabbi Yosef, alalosa heichemikaria. What exactly do we, what do we call it? Meaning, how do we translate the word alalosa? What's included, when he said, I want to give alalosa, he used that word. What's included in that word? So, Amar Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef answered very simply, Masnisani, it's our Mishnah. It says, Veshavin, or Braisa, it's a Mishnah or Braisa, okay, Veshavin, they agree, Benoidir minatvua, when I say the word tvua, Shaina Asar, Alamachemeshas Aminim, so I only mean the grains. Very clearly, and since the word tvua only means the grain, and the word alalosa is a Aramaic translation of the word tvua, so l'chayra, Rabbi Yosef is saying that it's limited to those five grains, and he can only collect his money using the grains.
What do you see that
alalosa? Ran says, "Bitargaminon alalosa." It's the targum, the way we translate the word tfu is alalosa. Alalosa mashma kol mili kadamin l'kaman. Okay? So on the one hand, it's a translation of the word tfu that has a very clear definition, which Rabbi Yosef is relying on. On the other hand, the word alalosa itself has a connotation, a meaning of much, much more expansive and inclusive than the word tfu itself. Okay, that's the way it was used in their language. So that was Rav Yosef's initial reaction. His reaction was, well, it's a translation of the word tvua, and tvua we defined and know what it means. However, Amalei Abaya, so Abaya says, no midami. How could you compare? Tfuah loy mashma elan l'chameshas haminim. You're right. It's true that the word tfuah itself only means the five minim. Alalosa, even though it's the translation, kol mili mashma, it really means anything that grows, not grows in the word, anything that expands and anything that's profitable. Alalosa can mean even those things that are profitable. Okay, so Abaya's translation really opens up the door to mean anything. So therefore, drew the kame to Rava. So they told this conversation to Rava. Omar, Aloy kami boili. You're right. Rava says that was never my question. The alalosa kol mili mashma. I never really had a question what the word alalosa means, because the word alalosa, the way the spoken language, and we don't speak Aramaic, but if you spoke Aramaic, the word alalosa really means anything that's profitable. So hadahu di boili. Really, what my question was schar botim. What if I would rent out a house? It's not even food. V'schar sfinois, or renting out a boat, which is also profitable, but it's not food at all. Which is certainly not to, had nothing to do with the word tvua. My, what would be the halacha over there? Also, can I collect my money from that, from those sources as well? Me, I mean, kiven to pachson lav alalosi. On the one hand, they do go back in value; they do drop in value. They have what we call in English depreciation. A house has depreciation when it gets used. Yeah, you could rent it out, but every time you use it, it gets lowered down in value. Or a car, right? A car, you drive the car off the lot, it loses 10 to 20% of its value just by simply driving it off the lot. Has nothing to, is, so there's a depreciation over here, regardless of the value that it might have. Oidilma, that's the one side, so maybe it doesn't include that. Oidilma, kivin de lo yadi pichsaihu, alalosahi. So, or maybe the fact that you can't, it's not noticeable. Depreciation is not something that you can see. You can appreciate. You can't really, that's a funny word to use, appreciate. But you can't really appreciate and notice the devaluation of the product. So as far as you're concerned, the fact that you're renting it out is a profit. It is money that's coming in. So maybe alalosa, which means anytime you bring in a profit, it's counted. So maybe alalosa includes even these type of things. The Gemara itself does not answer the question. Samru kameh. Rabbana Kameda Rabbi Yosef. They went back and they told Rabbi Yosef the conversation that now we're including a lot more things than just the five grains. Omar's Rabbi Yosef's response was, if he didn't need us, if he knew what the word Alalosa meant, and he knew what he was trying to get at, Amai Shalachlon, why did he send us this question? Why did he ask me this question? Why are you asking me to get involved if you're not going to listen to what I'm going to say also? So Rabbi Yosef was a little ikbid, he got angry, he was a little bit upset that he was asking him questions if he really wasn't really interested in his answer. So Rabbi Yosef, ikbid Rabbi Yosef. So fine, Rabbi Yosef got a little upset. Shama Rava, Rava heard that Rabbi Yosef was annoyed at him. So also the Kameh B'mala Yom Kippur, he came to visit Rabbi Yosef on Erev Yom Kippur, obviously to ask Mechila. Ashkeche L'shameh. He found that when he walked in, that the Shamish, Rabbi Yosef Shamish, to have a kamozik kameh kosu dechamer, that he was preparing a cup of wine. And the way they used to prepare the wine is they used to add a little bit of water. So Amar le, so Rava said to the Shamish, Havli, give the cup to me, the amzig le, ano, let me be the one who prepares the wine for him. Yoiv le, so the Shamish gave it to Rava, but kamozik ihu kosu dechamer. So Rava went ahead and prepared the cup of wine for Rabbi Yosef. Kika shasi, when Rabbi Yosef started drinking the wine, Omar, he says, Hadein mizga domi lemizga de Rava v'rei de Rabbi Yosef, bar chamra. Bachama. This tastes like the wine that Rava would be the one that would prepare. So either Rava, of course, as you know, was a Talmud of Rabbi Yosef and served him for many years. So either some of Farshim say simply that Rabbi Yosef was able to recognize it because he did it in a certain way. But we also know that Rava specifically, he's the one who teaches us that the way to prepare wine is 3/4 water, 1/4 one quarter wine, so which apparently was not necessarily the way everybody else did it. So Rava, it was Rava Shita, it was a very specific and unique way to prepare wine. Yeah. So that's why Rabbi Yosef was able to recognize that it was specifically Rava. He says, oh, this tastes like a Rava preparation. So Amar Le, so he said, who knew? That's exactly right. He's the one that prepared it. Amar Le, so now that Rava was in the presence of Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef said to Rava, Oy Tesav Akarech, Don't sit down. Ad amris li pirusha de hadein milso. Until you can explain the following passage that I'm about to say. The pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Mimidbar ma'atonim ma'atonim nachliel minachliel bomis. This is talking about the travels of Klal Yisrael. They went to these specific places. So why does the Torah list these places? Amar le. So Rabbi answered like this. Kivin sha'oisa odem esatzma kimidbar. If a person makes himself like a midbar. So there's different mafarshim of how to explain what, in what way. Rashi right here, the pirush, the mafarish right here on the Yomid explains that it means that you're willing to learn Torah with anybody. That you're not makbid who's who. That anybody wants to come learn Torah from you, you're willing. That's like a midbar. Anybody wants to go in can go in. So there, that's the midah that we're talking about over here. That you're willing to teach Torah to anybody. Anyway, kamidbar shehu mufkar l'chola Torah, which is open for the whole Torah. Nitna loy bimatana. That's why it says midbar matana. That they went from midbar to matana. So meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the matana of Torah. Shenemar umi midbar matana. That's our pasuk. Now, continuing in the explanation, the kibush nitna loy b'matana. So once a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you the Torah as a matana, nachloy el, then you are able to become the Yerusha, inheritance of Hashem. Shenemar umi matana nachli el. That now you become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The kibush nachloy el, el. So now, once you're the Yerusha of, you're part of the Nachla, you're part of the possessions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you become great. And Bomois is a lifted, higher elevation, is a lifted place. So you become great. However, Vim Higbia Atzmai, that's talking about where HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts the person, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the person great. That's okay. Vim Higbia Atzmai, but if the person himself thinks he's great, he lifts himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashpila, then Hashem lowers him. Shenemar Umi Bomois Higai. And from the bomas, you go down to the valley. So it'll go down. Not only do you go down into the valley, but you become submerged into below the valley. That you'll only be able to look on the lower levels. Like your outlook will only be at the ground level. So meaning you're already submerged further down into the ground, so that all you could see is the ground. So we see that a person literally, if he does not behave properly, then he is going to. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts the person up, then he'll taka be a gadol. He'll be great. But if a person if it gets to his head and he thinks he's great, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lower him. However, the Gemara continues. Lastly, v'im chazer boy. But if a person is chazer, meaning even if he was at one point a bal gaiva, but now he realizes that it's not about him. If he does tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu madvi Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will re-lift him back up, as the pasuk now on Nun Hayim Beis, right at the top of Nun Hayim Beis, the Gemara says, Shenemar, Kolgei Yinose. From the valley he will be lifted up. Now this pasuk happens to be that it's not written together with the rest of the pasukim that we just mentioned. This pasuk is a pasuk in Navi, it's a pasuk in Yishai, but it uses the same lashon of Gai, Ogei, which means the valley. And the Gemara is trying to put it together that this is all part of the same process. Part of the process that if a person is a Baal Gaiva, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reduce him, but if without the Gaiva, he's not going to be able to, he will be lifted back up by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anyway, so the Mefarshim will say that the reason why Rabbi Yosef was asking was specifically asking him to define this pasuk was because there was a lack of covet, so to speak, with asking Rabbi Yosef a question that he didn't really mean to ask. So he wanted to show him that you should have, this is, the proper midah is not to have gaiva. The point is that he wanted to show him not to have gaiva. That which is the point, that even if a Kadosh Baruch Hu lifts a person up, he should not consider it his greatness. He should not consider it, he should be open to learning. Open to learning anything, but not in a gaivatic way. Gemara now continues back to the topic that we're talking about, of when you make an eder and you use certain words, what's included and what's not included. So, right, again, we're still on the first line of, in the middle of the first line in the Ham Beis. The Gemara continues and says, Tanya, we learned in a baisa. Hanoidir menat dogon, once again, use the word dogon, you said grain. Aser af bepul amitzri yavoish. So this so far is consistent with our Mishnah, that you're including even this type of bean that is dried, again, which means that it's going to be ground down. However, mutter belach, this is where it gets interesting. It's mutter when it's moist, because that is still considered a peiri. Umutter ba'irez, and it doesn't, dogon does not include rice. Bechilka betirges ubetisni. And also includes, even if you're dealing with a kernel of wheat or that gets, chilka means that's split in half, tirgus means it's split into thirds, or tisne means it gets split into quarters. So once you treat it in this way, it was treated differently. It was roasted in that way and so on and so forth. But the point is it was not then turned into a grain. And therefore, when I say my neder, and I use the word dagon, I specifically mean only if it's going to be used and eventually, you know, used in the manner of grain. If it's not going to be used as grain, then it's not included in my neder. Now, we learned, continuing, hanoider min peiros hashana. So again, uses the word peiros hashana, the fruit of this year. Also b'chol peiros hashana, obviously, that's usher in anything that grows this year. Umutter b'gedim u'betloim. Now the chiddush over here is that even though you have newborn calves of either goats or sheep, so you would say, oh, this is the fruit of this year. Right? The fruit of this year could mean anything. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that it grows from the ground. However, the point that the Gemara is trying to make is that actually is exactly what you meant. When you said Peiros Hashana, you meant fruit as the way we understand fruit, naturally, that grow this year. So therefore, it does not include the newborn sheep or goats. Ubecholov and milk, ubebeitzim and eggs, ubegoizlois, also goizlois are the little birds. So once again, since that is not, even though it was created this year, that's not what Peiros Hashana means. Vim Omar Gedule Shana. Now, if a person says anything that became, that again, in English, the translation is the same. It's that it grew, but it's that it became expanded this year. Then Aser Bekula, and then Yitaka mean to mean anything. Because you don't mean Peiros. When you said Peiros, you mean to limit it specifically to fruit that grow off a tree and so forth. But once you say gedula, anything that grows, anything that expands, that became new this year, so then it can include even those things like the new sheep and so forth. The Gemara now continues, hanoider min peiros ha'aretz. Now again, I say the fruit that grow in the land. Now why did I say the word aretz? Also b'chol peiros ha'aretz, you're usher in anything that grows from the ground, meaning even off a tree or directly off the ground. But umutter b'kmein u'pitrius. But it'll be mutter to eat what they translate as mushrooms and truffles. Right? Those things are not considered growing from the ground, as we'll see in a moment. Im omer gedule karka alai. But if I use the word anything that comes from the ground, that grows from the ground, that grows on the ground, so then aser b'kul, and then it is aser, because the mushrooms also grow on the ground. They don't grow, as we'll see in a moment, they don't grow from the ground, but they grow on the ground. So therefore, anything that, if I use the words gedule karka, that grows on the ground, it includes those mushrooms as well. However, the Gemara says, very many, I'll ask you a contradiction, whether it's considered a something that grows on the ground or not. It says, Al dover she'en gedulim in ha'aretz. This is talking about in Hilchos Brachos. What brachos do we make? On anything that does not grow from the ground. So beforehand, the Mishnah over there described that anything that grows on a tree, make ha'etz, on a ground, makes ha'adama, and so forth. And then the Mishnah concludes and says, what we're quoting here, Al dover she'en gedulay min ha'aretz, if it does not grow from the ground, oimer shahakol ni'eb dvar, the bracha that you're going to make is shahakol. The Tanya, so what's included in this? We learned in a Brisa to explain what this Mishnah is referring to. Al ha'melech, on salt, val ha'zomis, which is salt water, val kamein v'pitrius, which again is back to the truffles and the mushrooms that we talked before. Oimer shahakol ni'eb dvar, you make a shahakol. Now, according to what we just said a moment ago, we said that if it does grow, that it, if I say gedule aretz, then it is included in my neder, so we see that it does grow on the ground. So if it grows on the ground, why is the Gemara in Brachos telling us that we make a shahakol? It should be considered growing from the ground. So this is where the Gemara finally explains, Omar Abaya, so Abaya explains, mirva robu me'ara. Yes, it grows, so to speak, from the ground. However, what does it mean from the ground? It literally just physically grows from the ground. Meinik me'avira yanki, veloy me'ara. It gets, now, it literally translates that it gets its nutrients from the ear, but not from the ground. So there are those that learn it gets most of its nutrients from the, maybe it does get a little bit from the ground and so forth, but the point is that it's not really growing off the ground. It's growing physically off the ground, but it's not growing, you can grow mushrooms anywhere. It doesn't have to be, you just have to have the right environment for it, and therefore, for purposes of brachos, it's not considered a product of the ground. in physically, for nether purposes, it is considered something that grows on the ground. So for nether purposes, it grows on the ground. But for brachli's purposes, it's not a product of the ground, and therefore you would not make a ground type of bracha. You would still make a shahako. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Bahakatani al dover she'en giduloi mina aretz." So it says things that, but it uses the word giduloi, that it grows on the ground, and this lemaisa, these mushrooms do grow on the ground. So tani, you're right. The way the Mishnah should have said it is al dover she'en yoinek mina aretz. So what he means to say is those things that get its nutrients, that take its nutrients from the ground. Now I don't think it actually is, the point of this price is not really to change the girsa of the Mishnah. The girsa is still giduloi aretz. It's true. We're going to use the word gedula, but it means when the point that we're trying to learn, or the Bryce is teaching us, the concept of when I say gedula yaretz, I mean those things that get its nutrients from the ground, that grow from the ground. Even though you're right, it grows on the ground, but it's not really growing from the ground. And that's the distinction, and that's what the Bryce means, regardless of whether you use the word gedula or you use the word yoinik, it means the same thing. It has the same connotation. And therefore, again, in conclusion, for nether purposes, it grows from the ground. For bracha's purposes, it does not grow from the ground. It just simply grows on the ground. And that's not considered growing from the ground. Okay, that's till now. We've been talking the last two Mishnahs. We've been talking about fruit or things that grow. What's a grain? What's a fruit? What's a vegetable? And so on. That's what we've been talking till now. Now the Mishnah, we're up to the next Mishnah, is going to slightly change topics. And it's going to say, again, along the lines of when I make a nether and I use a word, what does the word include? But it's not going to talk about food anymore. So here we go. Hanoider min haksus. Somebody makes a nether that he's not going to, I'm going to use the word wear, or he's not going to use clothing. So then, mutar besak ubiyiriya ubchamilo. So he's able to use other types of material that can cover him, but it's not technically clothing. Sack is like a sackcloth. So sackcloth is not commonly, it's interesting, the Mefarshim says not commonly worn. It's not a thing that you would naturally normally wear. Yiriya is, the way we translate it, is more like a curtain. Chamilo is also a type of curtain, although it's a little bit thicker.
Ivan, you ever had a sports? Yeah, I'm having trouble hearing.
Right, you wrap yourself with it, but you wouldn't wear it necessarily as a clothing. And it's more used to protect you from the rain. That's why you would put this on. So if it's raining, you would put like a shawl made out of material on top of you. But again, it's not clothing per se. It's not a raincoat, but it's just just a shawl that you'd put on top of you to protect yourself. That's what the word ksus means. Omar koinim tsemer. Now this is very interesting. When a person says, I don't want to use wool, so oila alai, I don't want wool on me, mutter lehiskases begize tsemer. He's still allowed to put on top of him the shearings of wool. Meaning, because even when he says the word wool, he means wool in the context of clothing. I mean wool clothing. As we'll expand on this more, a little bit more in the Gemara, but the point is, even when I say the word wool, I don't mean wool literally, I mean wool clothing. So therefore, the shearings of the wool, directly unprocessed, I can put on me. Similarly, ha-pishton, or pishton, if a person says, I don't want to put flax on me, same thing. Mutter lehiska says, ba'anitze pishton. You can't wear flax clothing, once again, the processed clothing, because that's what I mean when I say flax. I mean, I don't wear flax, meaning I don't mean literally the flax that comes off the branch. I mean flax that's processed, so I won't wear flax clothing. Now that all is the Tanakama Shita. Rabbi Yehuda says, ha-kol lefi ha-noider. It depends on the circumstances of the noider. Meaning, even though the literal translation makes it sound like the individual person making the neder, but that's not what it means. As the Mefarshim say, it means the circumstances of the person making the neder. So, as the Mishnah itself gives an example, Toyin, if he's carrying a load of, let's say, wool. He's carrying a bale of wool. The hezian is all sweaty. V'hayarecha kasha, and it smells bad. When it gets wet, it gets stinky. Oimer, and then he says, koinim temer upishtam alai, and he says, I don't want this wool or this flax on me. Mutal is kases. So he's even able to wear it. V'asa lahafsha la'achir, but he can't throw it behind his back. Meaning, he can't, the way, you know, think about the stick with a little sack behind you. you're carrying it over your shoulder. So that's the so because of the circumstance, he's saying, I don't want this. He's only referring to it because he's carrying a heavy load and it's bothering him, and so on and so forth. So even though he uses the same word wool, but over here he's not complaining about the clothing. He's complaining about the carrying. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only the carrying that's usher, not the clothing. And the same thing is true also, as we'll see in the Mishnah, in the Braisa rather, in the Gemara, where it says that if he's wearying it and he's complaining, then it's the wearying that's bothering him. It all depends on the circumstance. By the way, just as a footnote, this is where I mentioned earlier that the Ran brings the Yerushalmi that says that's talking, all of this is talking about when we speak the language. If, just again, to reiterate what we said before, but if nowadays where we don't speak Lashon HaKodesh, if I use a Lashon HaKodesh word, then of course I mean what the Torah means, because why would I be using the word in the Lashon HaKodesh? It's not my natural way of speaking. Anyway, so this is where the Ran says that. Okay, let's move on to the Gemara now. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Hanoider min haksus. Somebody makes a neder not to wear clothing. Mutter basak. Basak, he can wear sackcloth of a urea and a curtain of bechmila and this heavy material that we discussed in the Mishnah. That's mutter because that's not considered clothing. Va'osar bepunda uba piskaya. He cannot wear. Punda and Puskaya are types of belts, a big belt, an empty belt, whatever it is. Ubis kurta taya, which the Gemara itself will explain in a moment what kurtaya is, a type of leather. Ubikat valya. Also, katvalya is probably the easiest to understand that it means something like a leather apron. It's a leather material, but it's more like an apron, something that you would wear on top of your clothing. So it doesn't mean clothing, it's something that you'd wear to protect your clothing. The anpalya, uplanya are also types of leather shoes, but protective leather clothing. And therefore they're not considered clothing themselves. Umichnasayim, and pants. Sorry, all these things are usur because you would wear them. Shoes are something you would wear as clothing. Mechnasayim are obviously pants. V'koiva and a hat. Now a hat, you can argue whether or not a hat is clothing or not, but l'maisa, it is clothing. It's part of what we wear. So therefore, if we're wearing it and we're wearing it as clothing, it's going to be included in your neder as clothing also. Now, back to the point over here. We had one word where I said we're going to translate the sukurtaya. So the Gemara asked, my iskurtaya, iskruti. So it's a slightly different variation of the same word, but it's the same. It's that particle of clothing. What is that particle of clothing that we're referring to? Omar Rabba Barchana. So Rabba Barchana says, kituna detzala. It means a shirt made out of leather. So they used to, let's say people working on leather or working a blacksmith or something like that, they used to wear these protective shirts. Now, the reason why it's considered clothing is that even though it's worn as, let's say, a smock nowadays, right? A smock is only there to protect you from your clothing. You're not wearing it as the clothing itself. However, since it's shaped in the shape of a clothing, you actually put it on and fit it like a shirt. So even though it's there really to protect your clothing underneath, the shirt underneath it, but lamaisa, it is a shirt. It is a shirt, and you could wear it as a shirt. Again, you wouldn't necessarily wear it because it's not comfortable, but you would wear it as, the way I think about it is like a wetsuit, even though it's obviously not a wetsuit. But a wetsuit is clothing that you put on top of your clothing. Clothing that you put on top of, not necessarily to protect, but that's the idea over here. The point is that it's shaped like clothing. It's manufactured like clothing, and therefore we call it clothing as well. Tanya, we learned in a braisa, Yoitzin Pesach. Now this braisa that we're about to learn is not talking about Hilchus Nedarim, is talking about on Shabbos. What is considered clothing for purposes of wearing in the Rishus HaRabim? Obviously we're allowed to wear clothing in the Rishus HaRabim. So what is considered clothing? What's considered what you're wearing? So Yoitzin Pesach Ova, you could wear a thick sackcloth because you're wearing it as clothing. Ubasagus Ova, Sagus Ova is even a thicker type of, it's a similar type of material. It's also made out of the sackcloth, but it's more uncomfortable, and it's a heavier tweed. It's a heavier material. So that you could wear on Shabbos. Ubi Yiriya, and this curtain of Chamila, and the heavy thing, because of the rain, as we said, because it protects you from the rain. So even though it's not shaped like clothing, for purpose of Hilchus Shabbos, it functions like clothing. So since it functions like clothing, you're allowed to wear it out in the Rosh Hashanah when it's raining. Avaloi b'teva, avaloi b'kupa. But you can't wear a box. Now this is interesting, because a box could also protect you. If it's raining, you put a box on your head, a piece of cardboard on your head, and it's going to protect you. The answer is because the box doesn't shape, doesn't take on a new shape just because you're wearing it in a different way. See, when you take a piece of material and you wrap it around you, it has a new shape. It's taking your shape, and it becomes similar, has the same characteristics as clothing. Whereas a box, a teva and a kupa are different types of boxes, but they retain their name and retain their form as a box, even when you put it on your head to protect you from the rain, so therefore it's still considered a box and not clothing. And the same thing is true with a reed mat. If you put a mat on top of your head, at the end of the day, it's still a mat. Yes, it protects you from the rain, but it doesn't change its form, even from the rain, and therefore it remains usur to wear that on Shabbos, because you're just going to take it off your head and put it back as a, you know, it still has whatever it's holding in the box. The Brisa then continues and says, Haroyin, the shepherds, Yoitzim B'Shakin, they would walk around wearing their sackcloth. That was common for them. The Lo Yoroyin B'Var, but the Brisa then points out, it doesn't only mean shepherds are allowed to wear it. B'Var Amru, it's not really only talking about shepherds. El Kol Adam, it means anybody. El Shadibra Chachamim B'Hoiva, but the Brisa wants to say it because they were the ones who commonly wore it. So the point is that once they wore it, for them it was natural, and they used to wear this, it became defined as clothing. So now anybody could wear it as clothing. Again, most people wouldn't wear it. It wasn't uncomfortable, it wasn't practical, whatever. But the point is now that it became an article of clothing, it is clothing, and therefore you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. So the reason why we're bringing this over here, even though it's Hilchos Shabbos and not Nedarim, is that we're trying to show you for Hilchos Shabbos, we define clothing differently than what we would define as what's included in your nether. You're not a nether. So the same word can mean different things in different contexts, which is really fascinating. It's the same word, but for Hilchos Shabbos, it's clothing. For Nedarim, that's not what I mean. When I say clothing, I mean regular, normal clothing. Now, to finish off, we have Rabbi Yehuda Shita in the Mishnah that says it depends on your circumstances. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Arakolafi Anoider. It depends on the person making the nether. Again, it doesn't mean the person himself. It means the circumstance or the situation that the guy is making the nether. So finally, we'll explain like this. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Kate said, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Arakolafi Anoider. What does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says it depends on your circumstances? So very clearly, Hayalovush Semer, if a person is wearing a wool garment, the heitzar, and it's interesting, the Mefarshim have a machlekas over here, whether it's just bothering you, it's uncomfortable, or it's tight. And some Mefarshim even say it smells, and that you're not comfortable because of the smell. Anyway, the point is that you don't like it. V'omar, and you say, koinim tzemer oilo alai, I don't want wool on me anymore. So then, osur lulboish umutur litoin. So over there, it would be only osur to wear it because he's complaining about wearing it because that's what's bothering him. But it's not a problem. He doesn't have a problem with the touch, to touch it per se, and therefore he'd still be able to carry it for purposes of whatever, working with wool, but he just wouldn't be able to wear it. Hayatoyin pishton. But if he's carrying flax, now again, we don't mean to switch just only flax, even though we use wool in the first case and pishton in the second case, they both work both ways. It's just as an example. But if he's carrying the flax, v'hezi, and he's sweating, v'oimer koinim pishton oilo alai, and he says, now I don't want this flax on me anymore, so muto lulvoish, then he's clearly able to wear it, v'also litoin, and he can only, so what is he prohibiting? What is he asering? He's only asering the carrying of it, because that's what was bothering him. So that's what he means. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to look at the big picture over here. You have to look at the circumstances, and you can't just say, oh, I said the word wool, so wool means everything. Wool means anything and anything to do with wool. It's not true. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to look at the circumstances, see why he's making the nether, and if what's bothering him, and if there's a particular reason or circumstance that's bothering him, then what becomes usur is only that circumstance. Now the Ran does point out, and we'll finish with this, the Ran does point out that the Rabbi Yehuda and the Braisa is slightly potentially different than what Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, you don't have to be clear that you only mean this and not the other thing. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa is, and it could include other things if you're not clear that I mean to limit it to this object. Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa says that when I say it's the wearing that's bothering me, that's what I mean. I only mean the wearing. I don't have to say, and the carrying doesn't bother me. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah could potentially require that if I say wool is bothering me, it, even if I'm talking about the carrying of it, it could mean that I don't want wool in general. Unless I say it's the carrying that's bothering me. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah means, it requires, at least the way the Ran is learning, requires to be more clear of what exactly is bothering me. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa is saying, no. That once I just look at the circumstances and that's the only thing I mean to aser, and I don't mean to aser anything else that's not exactly like these circumstances. A slight variation in Rabbi Yehuda between the Braisa and the Mishnah, but the idea is the same. The idea is that, what?
He's stricter in the Mishnah?
He's stricter in the Mishnah, yes. He's stricter in the Mishnah. Okay, but the point is that Rabbi Yehuda's sheet in general is though that you look at the circumstances and you could rely on the circumstance to say that's what he means in his neder, and he doesn't necessarily, okay, the pashtus is, not exactly like the Ram, but the pashtus is that if you're making the neder under certain circumstances, we imply that it's the circumstance that he's making usur. It's not all things and anything and everything that have to do with that material that's going to be usur. Okay, so we'll stop over here.